They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant your Pelger is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Pelger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! And it's a Tuesday.
You can probably catch us on the moon.
During the football season, which means Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Greg.
What's up, guys?
Enough of the pleasantries. I want your reaction to the fallout of the ESPN piece and the denials and the, I don't know, just everything that's happened since Wickersham dropped that story on Friday morning. How do you feel about what's transpired in the last 4 days?
Well, I mean, I think overall, I think some of the Patriots' explanations about things or denials have been, you know, semantics. I mean, I think for the most part, I mean, we didn't hear any, like, strident denials. Like, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. You know, that sort of thing. So that was the thing that jumped out. I think also that, you know, when Wickersham asked the Patriots for comment, you know, the easiest way to dismiss this story would have been to answer it point by point. Like, I mean, when you have the stuff in there about the meeting, then have a quote from Robert saying, this never happened.
This is such a good point. Why didn't they just deny it to Wickersham at the time when he asked the team a million times for a comment and they never did?
They offered one blanket statement. I mean, why not? If it was full of untruths and all that stuff, then just go at it point by point.
I didn't even think about that. Why just do it to him at the time? I mean, seriously.
Well, because my guess is their answer to that would be, well, then you're validating the story.
Why the story's running either way.
Well, right, but that's not the point. The point is that you are validating it by participating in it. If you don't participate in it, you give the message of, thing was a hit piece, and why should I contribute to a hit piece?
Well, so, look, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I would just counter them, you know, not you. Well, you've spent the last 3 days going on every media outlet and denying it, so what's the difference? I mean, aren't you giving it validity by spending this much time on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not just deny it to him when he asked you?
Well, we all know the answer to that.
Because
there's a good chunk of truth.
A large, and I would say that the piece was fairly accurate. I mean, do I think it was, and I wrote about this in my column in reaction to it and sort of the stuff that I have learned along the way and I've been dropping hints about, and that's now available for free at BostonSportsJournal.com if people want to read it. You know, I just think that I thought that there was a lot of, it was sexed up. There was a lot of drama put into it that I didn't think needed to be put into it. And actually seeing Seth's finished product, because I waited until it was released. It was like 1 a.m. I think my story went up at like 4 because I had written a good chunk of it. And I actually went back and took stuff out of my story because I was just like, you know what? Some of this stuff is too easily dismissed. Like, they just should have went hardcore, you know, and just left out. So, like, the Garoppolo stuff about TB12 and being locked out, you know, I don't know. I think there was a different way to write that. I mean, there were other things like that that I thought could have been written a bit differently or just left out altogether.
So you're saying,
you know, the Patriot of the Week thing? I mean, definitely, don't even put that in there. I mean, does that really enhance the story?
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought it was a great detail. Oh, that was a phenomenal detail. But how does it hurt, in your estimation, how does that hurt the credibility of the story?
Well, I mean, it just...
Unless it's not true.
It just sounds ridiculous. I mean, that Tom Brady would be, you know, all up in arms that he didn't get Patriots of the Week. But now hearing guys like Trey Flowers explain that there is a Patriot of the Week award and how it encompasses, you know, you did the most to help the team basically win this week. And if Tom Brady hasn't gotten it this year...
That's pretty crazy.
It
I don't
is.
Know. I thought that was a great detail on both sides of it. Bill hasn't given it out, and Brady cares.
I kind of like it.
I love it.
The Garoppolo,
I mean, unless it's not true.
The Garoppolo thing, I agree with you on, Greg. Because that one, to me, that one reeks of a misinterpretation or, you know, miscommunication or
right.
something. As much as I think Brady, you know, I say resented Garoppolo's presence, even if he didn't resent Garoppolo's directly, he resented his presence, which to me is more about Bill than it is about Garoppolo. I have a hard time believing, yeah, Jimmy, we'll meet you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. No problem, all set. Hey, Alex, lock the doors, don't show.
Yeah.
Like, come on, really?
I know.
Like, so my guess is something got screwed up there, somebody forgot, Garoppolo showed up and the door was locked. Like, and then it's like, what's going on here? So that one I'm with you on. But the Patriot of the Week thing to me speaks of Belichick spiting Brady.
Well, and I didn't. I don't read stories that way like you guys do. So hearing your take on it about how it being a Brady hit piece, I mean, it really rings true. I mean, if you're Brady or Brady's camp and you're reading that story, you're just like, wow, it makes Brady look bad. Now, in my reporting and the people that I've talked to, it's Brady doesn't look that bad. It's just that Brady knows what's going on. And in his mindset, he's playing for 3 to 5 more years. And why is Jimmy here? Why isn't my contract done yet? And why are you screwing with Guerrero in the middle of the season when I'm playing like I am at 40? So why are you doing this stuff?
So look, this is the best part. This is, and I'm glad you haven't changed it. I'm going to ask you now if you've come back from any of these things that you've written. But you said in your follow-up piece that posted shortly after Wickersham, put all these things together, Garoppolo, Brady's contract not being done, Guerrero being kicked out. I'm sort of adding stuff so people can catch up. Put all those things together, Garoppolo not being traded in the spring, Brady's contract not getting done, Guerrero being phased out of the team, and Brady was edgy. He wondered, after all he had done for the Patriots, why was his place on the team for 2018 not totally secure, at least in his mind? Brady started to get in Kraft's ear about it, repeatedly. All the evidence was telling Brady that Belichick intended to trade him after the season and go with Garoppolo. Brady wanted to know where the security and loyalty was. Brady never said or hinted about wanting Garoppolo traded. It didn't happen. Brady just wanted some assurances of his future. As the trade deadline neared, and with Brady playing some of the best football of his career and looking like an MVP candidate, he obviously wasn't looking like a 40-year-old quarterback, as Belichick feared. Kraft decided to demonstrate his loyalty to Brady and told Belichick to trade Garoppolo. Period, paragraph. You stand by that.
Yep.
Kraft decided to demonstrate his loyalty to Brady and told Belichick to trade Garoppolo.
Right. Now, did Kraft directly speak the words to Bill? I don't know that. But the message from three different sources was, it was clear that Brady was in the long-term plans and Garoppolo was not.
Three sources, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three.
I had two.
I usually just go with one. No. What are you waiting around for three for?
Well, because this is a big story.
Someone says it, just run with it, baby. Get some clicks, man.
Right.
I'd have made it up.
And finally,
get some subscribers. What are you doing waiting for three?
That was a joke.
I mean, I had two, but then the third one had been on the fence, and then once word came down that the ESPN story was coming, they finally got off the fence. And so then I felt comfortable writing it. So that's
okay,
where I am.
Okay. And so all the denials have all the denials and everything Kraft has said, everyone else has said, has not changed your mind.
No.
No. Okay. Me neither. Let me ask you this. And I think, to me, where Wickersham got himself in trouble, and it spins into what we're going to talk about right now, is him saying that it's going to blow the thing up. It's
yes.
The beginning of the end. And like I never felt that. I've always felt the issues were real. And so I believe all of his details. And so I believe they exist. But I never felt for a minute that they were going to trade Brady or Bill was going to walk or any of those things. And I still don't. And I think that's a thing that they sexed it up. Is this the last days of the... Okay, so I don't think that's going to happen. But Gary Myers continues to insist down in New York, and he's not an unsourced individual. Now, he's just gone with one source, which I love. We get more stories that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's just gone with one source, but he's not someone who's lacking in connections.
No, he did a Brady Manning book. He's got good connections with Kraft and Belichick.
Okay, he continues to insist that Belichick would like to go to the Giants, and if Bill wants out of here, the Giants are the place he would go to. In fact, he heard today that Robert Kraft, if it push came to shove, would ask for 3 first-round picks. You know, yesterday, Jimmy Stewart said, well, the price for Bill is 2 firsts and 2 seconds. I said, that's crazy. And like Jimmy, of course, as usual, knows more than I forgot that was the John Gruden package when he went from Oakland to Tampa. 2 firsts, 2 seconds. So would you take 2 firsts, 2 seconds from the Giants for Bill Belichick?
And $9 million.
And $9 million, which...
Money's important here.
Okay, fine. And $9 million. 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and let's call it $10 million for inflation. Would you take 2 firsts, 2 seconds from the Giants for Bill Belichick? And I don't think he's going anywhere, but this is just... Would you do that, Greg?
Not without Jimmy here anymore. If Jimmy was here, at least I'd know I would have a quarterback, you know, going forward. I'm not leaving that in the hands of somebody else.
Okay, so I'm off the fence. I hem and hawed yesterday. I would do it. I would do it. Because the whole idea here, Greg, is you take that first-round pick, and you get your quarterback of the future.
Right.
And Josh is here. Now, so it's basically, you picked Brady over Belichick. So just take that to its logical end. Keep Brady. Keep McDaniels. Keep Casario. Keep everything that's going to leave. I mean, I guess Patricia's going to go, but Patricia gets the head job. Casario, maybe bump up his... you know, whatever his role is, where he would go and fulfill, do it here. And Brady's here for the next 2, 3, 4 years. You draft your quarterback with all those first-round picks. Josh gets to develop them, and that's how you reset your organization. 3 first-round picks. And I don't think it's, I mean, I don't think, why would the Giants do it? But, I don't know, would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't do it?
No.
Even though Bill's going to coach for most 5 more years, at most.
Okay, that being said, you know, you said you chose Brady over Belichick. See, I don't agree with that. Like, in this whole thing, and this is part of my explanation, like, I don't think anybody was wrong in any of this. I don't think Brady was wrong to say, hell, I don't know, Jimmy's still here, I don't know whether I'm on this team next year. You know, I've taken less money so you could win Super Bowl 2 out of the last 3 years, possibly, or likely 3 out of 4 years, and I don't know whether I'm the quarterback next year? Like, what's the deal?
Okay, you don't blame him, you don't blame Belichick.
And I don't blame Belichick, but I'm trying to think of why I don't. But as far as Kraft,
because he's playing for the future. That's why.
And Garoppolo's a good young quarterback.
Right. I think Bill just wanted to. Bill, as far as I've been told, Bill just wanted to play it out, and then just buy himself time until he had to make a decision, and then he would. I mean, because you don't know whether Brady's going to blow out his Achilles this week and be gone until November. You know, so Bill just was in the back of his mind. Bill knew that the way Tom's playing. You know, he's going to be my quarterback. I'm going to have to get rid of Jimmy, but I'm just going to franchise tag him and trade him once the season's over.
You don't blame the owner for stepping in and making a personnel decision?
No. No, not in this one instance. This is different. Tom Brady is different, and I don't fault him because Tom Brady's the MVP, and he's probably going to lead you to a third Super Bowl in 4 seasons. How do you trade a guy?
See, to me, there's only one reason to trade Belichick at this point, and that is that he doesn't want to be here. I mean, to me, if Belichick wants to stay, which I question, by the way, then absolutely, you move him. You move him. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday, the Garoppolo deal. He took a second rounder for him. He sold him at something less than what the value was. So if he's going to screw the franchise and doesn't want to be here, bye-bye, see you later.
So that's another piece that the more I think about it, the fact they only got a second-round pick for Garoppolo when he had first-round picks out there guaranteed, he absolutely could have gotten a first-round pick, not just last spring, but at the trade deadline. And that he just dumped him to San Fran for what? He's almost a fireable offense. I mean, if he wasn't a great coach and wasn't Bill Belichick, you'd look at that and say, Bobby Greer wouldn't do that on his worst day. How do you go from having the chance to have the 4th overall pick and end up with 42? And that's egregious.
And how about Kraft's statement on that?
I was taken aback.
So now, if Jimmy Garoppolo becomes the second coming of Joe Montana...
So, if Bill's making personnel decisions now to make himself look good or to help out the player that he's trading, he wanted to do Jimmy a solid? Since when? If that's how he's going to manage this thing, and you give me the 3 first-round picks and we'll reset it because it's coming at some point anyway. Or the 2 firsts and the 2 seconds, whatever, Jimmy, come up with a package. Again, the online poll on Twitter, is it still up, Jimmy?
It is. It's up for another day. I'll check the results here momentarily.
Okay, again, I am James Stewart.
Yes, sir.
And the Felger and Maz Twitter page?
Yes, sir.
Okay, 5,000 respondents or something. I don't know how many are up there.
There's about 65% saying that they would not trade Belichick for the Gruden package.
Gruden package. 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and $10 million if you want it. 65% say keep Bill. 35% say do it.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Blood force drum!
I'm gonna run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, he traded Parcells, didn't he?
It's different, though. I mean, this is the greatest of all time.
He didn't want Parcells there anymore, anyhow. So, I mean, yeah, it's totally different. I talked to somebody yesterday who, if anything, you could say that he would err on the side of the Giants in this, in saying what he thinks the compensation should be, and he told me 3 number-one picks. Weesh. And I said, come on. And he said, no. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire. And I wrote this column this morning. It's online now. He said, Robert Kraft didn't get to be a billionaire and build the best organization in the NFL, and he's just going to lay over and say, okay, you want him, take him. He goes, it's 3 number-one picks. Now, I think that's a little excessive, despite you know, everything Bill's accomplished. And it's only excessive in my mind because he's 65 years old. And, you know, even if he coaches another 5 or 6 years, there's still a lot to give up for a short period of time. But if you give up that much and he produces one Super Bowl championship in that period of time, then it's worth it.
I don't think it's outrageous to say trade Bill Belichick. I mean, I think that'd be crazy if that happened. I mean, like, that'd be the most bananas story of our lifetime. What I'm saying is, I would do it if I'm the Patriots. I would do it. You've had no first round picks the last 2 years. You've got to find your quarterback. And if Bill's going to do what he did at the trade deadline with Jimmy Garoppolo and do something out of spite or something that's not in the best interest of the football team, then what? Then what are we doing?
Okay, so then who's picking the quarterback?
And oh, by the way, and Maz nailed it too. I mean, Bill doesn't have an out contractually. He still has years left on his contract. But what if he tells Robert Kraft, Robert, unless you let me go somewhere else, I'm retiring?
Well, in that case, you have no choice. I mean, you got to move him.
I mean, isn't that leverage?
Yeah, you got to move him. If that's the case, see you later. Bye-bye, you're out. I mean, that's the end of it. In which case, I would look at the Garoppolo trade and say, wow, was that really worth it? Was picking Brady really worth it? Not only did it cost you Garoppolo, it cost you Belichick, too. Like, to me, that just compounds the mistake. I'm sorry, I can't let the Garoppolo deal go.
Obviously.
I can't let it go.
Really?
Because I think it's a absolutely colossal, monumental mistake. Huge.
Did you get a Garoppolo 49ers jersey for Christmas?
I got that one. It says, what's he wearing out there? 10, right?
10.
It's got 10 on one side, 16 on the other for Montana. Yeah. So to me, that's what they are. You flip them around, say Two-Face. One or the other. It's the same
guy.
But
seriously, I mean, what is the excuse for not trading him to Cleveland? That is outrageous that you wouldn't take a call from Cleveland, the dumbest team in the league with the most draft picks. That is outrageous. And I don't want to hear that you're afraid that they're in the AFC. That's freaking dumb. They're in the AFC, but they are a million miles away. They're the 16th team in the conference, and they're a good gap from the 15th. This isn't like you're trading them to, I don't know, name it, the Ravens or the Broncos or an AFC East team. It's not like you're trading them to a team in the conference that has had some success, and you've got to respect, you know, either the coaching or something. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, those teams have gotten it together over the last 10 years, for a time at least. The Browns are a zillion miles away. No matter how much you like Jimmy Garoppolo, you can't be afraid of him in Cleveland. You can't. And you had a chance with a fourth overall pick, and you didn't do it because why?
Did you see Mike Reese's reasoning for that?
I did, and maybe I just forgot it. What is it?
It was because the process for the trades for Jamie Collins and...
Oh, yeah,
yes,
I saw
right,
this.
Right. So what?
Yeah, that means nothing.
So what? So wait a minute.
So you couldn't trust him on what? Once you get the package back, it's it. You're either getting something or you're not. What is there to trust?
So what? They're paying the ass to deal with their baseball guys and they don't get football, so it takes an extra day, an extra week? Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, that's a complete lie.
Yeah,
please.
And wait, but
you got a top five pick.
My counter to that was John Lynch, who's never been a GM before. All of a sudden, you know, it's going to be an easy thing compared to Cleveland. I mean, Lynch is brand new. Shanahan's never been a head coach.
I mean,
how much easier was that?
Come on. So, I mean, if that's the kind of moves, are those the kind of moves he's going to make?
No. Well, listen, I told you, if Bill wants out, you get rid of him. I mean, to me, that's easy. Like, you can't keep a guy who doesn't want to work for you in that position because you'll get things like that. But what if back in the spring they were on the same page? What if Kraft was with Belichick then saying, hold on to him?
Yeah. I mean, I think he was.
Okay, so maybe that's why Bill didn't trade. Or, you know, not the reason he didn't trade him, because I think ultimately Bill thought he was making the decision.
I see. I can't blame Bill for the spring because... they were all on the same page.
Correct.
Keep him. Sure.
And then all of a sudden it gets to halfway through the season, and it's, well, you know, Brady's chirping in my ear the whole time, at least according to people like Bedard. You know, Brady's chirping in my ear, but can we just stop the thing, get rid of him, be done with it? Like, at which point, if I'm Belichick, I'm saying, are you serious? No, he could have called Cleveland anyway.
Oh, my God.
He could have called Cleveland anyway and gotten better than what he did.
How do you not take that call from Cleveland? How do you not take that call? Like, that is... that's outrageous. That's not bad. That is outrageous. You'd be sitting in a position right now to draft the next quarterback and not even miss, you know, just seamlessly draft one of these quarterbacks this year, and you're off and running.
Terry Pluto's reporting was what the Browns called the Patriots like a week before the trade deadline,
two days, the 28th.
And they were like, no, we're not open for business. Then all of a sudden...
2 days later, Garoppolo's gone to San Francisco.
None of it makes any sense.
What are you doing? Seth and Taunton, lead us off today on the phone, 617-779-0985. Go ahead, Seth.
Hey, guys. I know you're kind of dismissing the Titans game completely, but I wanted to get your opinion on something that Adam Jones and Nick Cattles had last night about sitting the players, some players, during the game. I know it's one loss and you're out, but Mariota sucks. 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. They allowed 17 points a game. They're middle of the pack. Garbage at takeaways.
Seth, so you're talking about resting players for Pittsburgh the next week?
Yeah. Hogan, Sid Marquette, Sid Van Noy. I mean, you can beat them without them.
I have no problem with that. You're shaking. I mean, Bill will never do that.
It's a playoff game. You can't start pulling that crap. Like, then someone gets hurt in the middle of the game and you don't have a guy dressed or something? You can't do that. No. No, play it straight.
Of course
win
you
the
do.
Game.
But
move on.
Can you play the second half a little more conservatively?
Sure,
25?
Yeah. Get yourself a big lead and then do whatever you want. But we're going to start holding guys out like Pittsburgh did in the final week of the regular season?
The Titans aren't great, but and most of it has to do with their problems on offense, which they need a total revamp. But the potential is still there. I mean, Marcus Mariota is really talented, and he's played some good quarterback, and he has the potential to put it all together, have a perfect game. He has that potential. So you can't risk that.
Yeah, okay. Ben in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I don't know. Just listening to you guys these past couple of days, it's like Patriots fans are going to be heading for the bridges. I mean, you guys, it's doom and gloom, and the Patriots dynasty is over. I mean, if the Patriots draft the quarterback this year and develop him, and as far as I know, neither Belichick nor Brady are going anywhere in the next couple of years, I mean, how does this leave them in some, you know, perilous kind of situation from a franchise standpoint?
It doesn't. It's just they have to start over. I mean, they were in a really good spot there in terms of the next wave, and now they've got to reset the whole thing. I mean, there's nothing precludes them from picking the right guy at the end of the first round, Ben. I mean, you're right about that. Wouldn't you rather sit there with the fourth pick? Don't you have a few more options at four?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, oh, no. I think to second guess how they manage the asset is perfectly legitimate, and I know, you know, Maserati's borderline stalking Rob.
Yes, he's wearing his skin.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, you're breaking up. No one's foreteller doom. I mean, we're going to Minneapolis. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
I'm just telling you had it.
I'm talking about the big picture. I'm talking about macro. I'm talking about when you look back in 10 years, you're going to be able to say that we got to this time frame, and they had the next quarterback. They had the next head coach in Josh McDaniels. They had Nick Casario. They had everything lined up to do what the Niners did in the late 80s, early 90s. Let's go to another coach and then go to another quarterback and keep winning and extend your run another decade, which is what San Francisco did. They only won one with Steve Young, but they were in the final four every year for like the next 8-9 years with Seifert and Steve Young, and they did it. And you have that exact thing, except now they're all going to go. You traded Garoppolo, Josh is going to go somewhere else, and now it's like, I don't know. I think if the Don move would have been to go to Garoppolo, let Belichick go for draft picks and reset it and say, these guys are the best ever, but it doesn't last forever, and we want to be good and competitive for the next 10 years, not the next three, and that would have been the Don move.
Mike, all they had to do was the quarterback. They didn't have to do Belichick.
Yes, they didn't have to.
All they had to do was the quarterback.
Okay, but it feels like it might come one to one, you know? I mean, that's all. I mean, you're fine for the time being. You're fine for the time being.
I think they're fine. I mean, I think that, you know, like I wrote, I think once the season's over and they get a little distance, and, you know, from some of the things that we're hearing, some clear-the-air meeting might have happened between the three of them. But at some point, it's going to happen. And they're going to realize, look, we're all going to be in the Hall of Fame in 15 years. Do we want to look back on this BS and say, you know, we really squandered the end?
Of course not. No. I'm not telling you that this is breaking up the team. I never said that. I don't feel this is breaking up the team. I feel if the Giants are going to offer you three first-round picks for a 65-year-old coach that, I don't know, and you haven't had a first-round pick in going on 3 years now, and you have no future quarterback, it's just something I would consider.
So do you trust the next guy to pick a quarterback?
Not as much as Bill, but, you know, got to give something to get something.
Okay, see, to me, that's the part of it I can't get past. If Bill wants out, see you later.
Would you rather have Nick Casario and Josh McDaniels make the decision sitting at number 4, or Bill Belichick make the decision sitting at number 32?
Bill.
Toss up. It's a close one.
I mean, where did he take Garoppolo?
Right, I understand that. How many times do you want to do that in a row?
What, Garoppolo?
It's hitting that kind of quality quarterback at that position.
Okay, I'm just saying, I'd rather have Bill at number 4 then.
At 59.
I want Bill picking the guy, and I want Bill developing the guy.
Okay, we'll do a special edition of 3 Up, 3 Down. We'll just look at the Titans quickly with Bedard, because he actually knows a thing or two about him, right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
3 Up, 3 Down. We do a special edition of 3 Up, 3 Down, which is a look at the Titans because, Greg's just the guy to do it. Here's how we're going to phrase it quickly. The three most dangerous Titans to the Patriots this week and the three Titans who the Pats should just exploit like you read about, okay? So, yep. It's a bit of a saying three best, three worst, but the three most dangerous Titans to the Patriots this week are who? Number 1.
Mariota's legs. I mean, it's basically if they don't, if he doesn't have his legs, they can't move the ball on offense.
Thank you.
And you know, he's dangerous. He could take it all the way as long as they keep him in the. It's the Tyrod Taylor game plan. You know, keep him in the pocket. I mean, I'm disappointed because I think that he's capable of a lot more than he's shown. He needs a new coaching staff. He's really good. He's really normally he's really accurate. He's smart. All this stuff. He's been brutal this year. And I put that on the Titans.
So I went Delanie Walker. I think their only chance of throwing the ball is Delanie Walker. That's it. He's the one reliable option they have. You take him away, they got nothing in the pass game.
Second most dangerous Titan.
Jarrell Casey.
Who's that?
Defensive tackle. I love the guy. He's one of my favorite players in the league. He's dynamic. He's been doing it for a while. You know, Joe Tooney, it's a big matchup. You know, that in that we all see what interior pressure does to Brady. And, you know, Casey's the guy to bring it if they can do it.
Mariota, for the reasons Bedard said. Don't let him run. Keep him in the pocket. If he's got no Walker and he can't run, they're boned.
Third most dangerous Titan.
Delanie Walker. You know, Mariota, where he is right now, needs the tight end. He needs those easy throws. And, you know, you got to look for... I assume they're going to double-team him in certain spots and have Patrick Chung under, safety over, stuff like that. But you take him away, you take Mariota's legs away, they can't run. They can't move the ball.
So let me just say, by the way, none of these things should be difficult.
Right, just the most.
Right? Okay, so none of them should be difficult. Derrick Henry's what I have third. And again, not difficult. And honestly, he's big, he's strong. It takes him a while to get going before he really has any sort of speed. Should not be that hard, but don't let them control the ball with this guy, which I don't think they will.
Okay, three worst Titans, the guys they should take advantage of. Number one.
Jonathan Cyprian, the strong safety. He was responsible for Travis Kelce just being, like, open all game. And if they do that again with Gronk, I mean, forget about it. Game's over.
So I'll say the linebacker, Woody Woodyard?
Woody Woodpecker?
Wesley Woodyard. But for the same reasons, Bedard, because I assume he'll be involved in the coverage on Gronkowski. And I'd attack, attack, attack. I don't think they have anybody that can defend Gronk.
Second most vulnerable Titan.
Corey Davis, they're sort of... Who's that? Speedy outside receiver. He doesn't really bring much, and he needs to be a threat in this game for the Patriots to sort of, you know, to get the Patriots out of what they want to do coverage-wise. I mean, I think they're just going to probably put Rowe or Butler and forget about it, you know, but he needs to be dangerous in this game for them to have a chance.
Mike Mularkey. Put a little pressure on them early, get out in front, and he will wet himself on the sideline at Gillette Stadium. The coach is not up for the moment either. Let's not kid yourselves. You put any pressure on this team, and they will collapse.
Third most vulnerable Titan.
Ty Smith, their nickel cornerback. I mean, what they do is they have Logan Ryan on the outside. Then when they go to nickel, they move Ryan inside. And Ty Smith's only been back for, like, I think it's three or four games. And he's been okay, but he's the guy I assume they're going to go after in this game.
Logan Ryan. I loved it. Let me rephrase. Okay, let me rephrase. I never really liked Ryan. He won me over a little bit at the end last year because he really can tackle. But he's not a great cover guy, and he never has been. So attack Ryan. You can light him up too.
Okay. What do you think the key to the whole game is? How does... other than the Patriots just completely sucking or turning the ball over, right?
Right.
Just say the game's played straight up. No turnovers. How does Tennessee win the game?
I think it's playing man coverage. And this isn't quite the same LeBeau scheme that we've seen in the past. They do play a lot of man coverage, but they got to be really effective. They got to play man coverage better than they did against the Chiefs. And so can the Patriots get contributions from everybody to enable that? You know, we'll have to see. I mean, I think this is... they need Hogan to be large in the postseason. Not necessarily in this game, but... going forward, this would be a good start to get him going.
I mean, I'd say Gronk. Gronk. If you could take Gronk out somehow, I'd triple Gronk, for crying out loud, if I were them. Don't give Brady Gronk and then see what happens. Take your chances. Maybe the Patriots offense sputters a little bit like it did down the stretch, and then you can control the clock with Derrick Henry a little bit and shorten the game and just be in it at the end. And then take a chance that somebody does something stupid or on your side does something great and you steal one. To me, but if you don't stop Gronk, they get zero chance.
Okay, you want to weigh in on the football? By all means, you are always welcome here at 617-779-0985. We're having a little bit of phone issue the last 2 days, so if you're having trouble getting through, just keep trying. You will get through. Our lines are down, but there's enough open that we can still talk to you. So give us a ring if you want to talk about football, or Gary Myers saying, New York Daily News, saying not only would Bill want to go to the Giants, if he wanted out of New England, but Robert Kraft would take 3 first-round picks for him. I love it. Gary, just keep doing what you do there, baby. Forget those 3 sources that Bedard waits for. Single source. That's my man. 3 first-round picks for Bill Belichick. Would you do it? I would. We'll get right back to it after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
If, and I'm just, I qualify everything with if Bill wants out, then Robert can't keep him.
Right.
You can't have a coach there who doesn't want to be there.
Right.
And that conference call yesterday shed absolutely no light on what Bill is really thinking. Because I heard the clip that you played, and then the next question from the same writer, and the guy was from New Jersey who asked the question, was, can you say definitely that you intend to return? And he had another one of those long pauses and said with, like, no conviction in his voice, absolutely. So everybody's writing, Bill says he's absolutely going to be back. But as later in your show, you continue the tape on that and you listen to that answer, you wouldn't say that. He said, it kind of sounded like I don't want to say half-hearted, but it wasn't, like, really emphatic.
Hey, Bill, there was a report in the New York Daily News this weekend that you would have some interest in coaching the Giants. I just want to see if there's any truth to that.
Right now, my interest is trying to do the best I can for our football team to get ready for Saturday night against Tennessee. That's where my total focus is.
I mean, is your intention definitely to be back with the Patriots next season?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's the first time you heard the Bill audio?
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
Why? I mean, when they ask the Giants question, why doesn't he just say, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard?
No, instead.
Because he wants it out there.
Maz did it all day. And Maz will even give you the visual. If you're watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston.
The visual?
Here's how it goes.
Bill, is it your intention to be, is your intention to coach the Patriots next season? Absolutely.
I like how you add the shrug.
I love it. It's perfect.
And is your intention? I mean, you can answer it as of right now, today, this moment.
Yeah, sure.
Right, so, absolutely. I mean, some people picked up, you know, I think Buckley wrote it today in the Herald. It's sort of less than convincing.
Oh, was even remotely convincing. It's like, so we'll meet you at the bar later, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll meet you there. Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah, sure. No problem. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, buddy.
Right on. You got it. You see the guy a week later. What happened to you? Stuff to do.
Dan in California. Go ahead, Dan. What do you got?
Yeah, originally traded Garoppolo to San Francisco because San Francisco probably has the best offensive coordinator in the league, a new team, and Belichick just wanted to stick it to Kraft so he could say, look at Garoppolo, what he's doing in San Francisco.
So do you think that's part of it, Greg, that he did it because he thought that would be a good landing spot for Garoppolo and he could turn around in this internal debate and say, see, the kid can play?
That's the only logical explanation for this, of why he wouldn't. I mean, really, he's going to be that afraid of putting Jimmy in Cleveland?
Oh, I can't believe that. And if he did, then that's just overthinking it, man. Cleveland is I don't care if you put the Joe Montana in his prime in Cleveland. They're going 6-10. They're that far away. How could you be that afraid of Garoppolo in Cleveland? That's just ridiculous. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think he just wanted to. Yes, he wanted to make the kid. He wanted the kid to make him look good.
Yeah, but it also sort of shows you how smart Bill is that San Fran's 1-10 when he trades him out there. And we look at San Fran at 1-10, like they're a million miles away. And this jabroni Shanahan was a guy that was still throwing in the Super Bowl up 28-3. And that's a lost cause out there. But Bill knows otherwise. Bill knows, Bill knows that he's going to succeed there when no one else could really think of that.
I mean, to me, that's what the whole thing was about. And look, I said, I just found the comment on the day they announced the trade to be interesting. Jimmy's got a good coach. Like, it was clearly important to him for Jimmy to have a good coach.
Sean and Marbo, 3 first-round picks from the Giants, or I would still go 2 firsts and 2 seconds, including the number 4 overall pick this year for Bill Belichick. Would you do it?
I want to add a wrinkle to that, and that is, if you could get 2 firsts and 2 seconds or 3 firsts, and you could lure Harbaugh out of Michigan for the remainder of Brady's career, would you do it? And I would say, even without Harbaugh, yeah. But I think that this whole thing is just, there's just something not right about it. And you guys were saying, if it's not true, why didn't the Krafts and everyone else come out to Wickersham and deny it? But my thought is, even if all this is true, why didn't they just come out to Wickersham and say, you know what, there's no truth to all this, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that this is Greg's point when he's talking about the fallout the last couple of days and all the denials. It's like Wickersham asked everybody in the story for interviews multiple times. And all the team did was give him one blanket statement. It's so easy when Wickersham's reporting this meeting that Kraft has since denied for Kraft to take his request before the story's published and say, Seth, that didn't happen.
I mean, why not just, especially the crux, the main news of it, the Garoppolo trade and, you know, some of the other stuff. But why not just, if it's not true, why not get a quote from Robert and Bill flat out denying that the meeting ever occurred?
Exactly. And he asked, so that all the team had to do was give it to him. And even if they wanted to go so far as to say, well, look, here's actual proof. Here's my agenda that day. Here's my calendar. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Like, it's, if it really didn't happen, it's so easy when the reporter's calling you about it to show you how this didn't happen, Seth. And they all have relationships with the guy. They all know Seth. It's not like, you know, it's, I mean, maybe he's an unfriendly now, but I don't know. So instead,
I doubt that he is.
Well, now he's not.
No, I mean, I still think that Seth is looked at well by certain people inside the building.
Oh, no question. Yeah. Bill's people, obviously, love the kid. But instead they go on this thing where it's, you know, through the media cartel or hand-picked outlets or, you know, crafting with a C, their sort of message through their media, when all they had to do was answer the kid's questions.
Yeah, because they didn't want to be part of it on the record. And again, because they know that a chunk of it is true.
Or
a good chunk of it is true.
They were also sources for it. Well, off the record.
Well, right. That too. Yeah. I mean, I don't rule out that at all.
One thing I wanted to bring up was a little bit about Seth's history. And just because somebody wrote a good story in the past doesn't mean that this story is not inaccurate. I mean, I'm not saying that. But just the fallout from this story, it's very similar to the story that Seth wrote about the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh.
When did he write that?
That was before the beginning of the end. Then.
Before Harbaugh left. He wrote something similar about them out there.
Before that, it was the offseason before his final season.
And everyone denied it out in San Fran.
And the same thing about, I think he wrote about Richard Sherman being on the trade block with the Seahawks before this year and sort of before the Seahawks melted down. And he was right about that. I just wanted to put that out there.
Greg, it's an anti-patriot story, blah.
Here's James in California. Hi, James.
Hey, I have a question for Bedard. Even though the Jaguars' offense was completely awful this weekend, you still think they should rather play them than the Steelers in the AFC title game?
So I'm sorry. You think the Pats would rather face the Steelers than the Jaguars?
Yeah.
I think that's bananas. And I think I don't believe in the Steelers, but the Steelers are going to win by 30 points this week. That's not going to be a competitive game.
I mean, do you really fear Blake Bortles?
No. That kid from Alabama last night was better than Blake
Give
Bortles.
Give me that fella. Give me Hawaiian.
You put that true freshman on the Jaguars, and they're more of a threat in the postseason.
Bortles can't hit a check down, Greg. That's the whole offense is, you know, is neutered because of it, and they're just so tight and like, we're going to pound Leonard Fournette. Like, good luck. An overrated defense and loser coach are going to get rolled. Not a real team, not a real contender. Never have been. We've got Ernie and Franklin. Hi, Ernie.
Hey, so the reason why Garoppolo is never going to get traded to Cleveland is because he was never going to sign back on with Cleveland, forcing him to become a unrestricted free agent, choosing his team, meaning Buffalo, meaning New York. So Bill wanted to set him up.
So look,
in San Fran,
so Ernie,
with a good coach,
Ernie,
a good environment.
Okay, why would he want to set him up with a good coach and a good environment? Why does Bill care about that piece?
Because he wants him to sign back on with San Fran long term.
Why?
And if he went to Cleveland, he would have left for another team.
He's saying to eliminate the threat that Jimmy
I see.
But Ernie, what about the franchise tag?
Right, exactly.
They can control him as long as they want.
He probably told Bill, I refuse to sign the franchise tag under Pats or the Browns.
Why does Bill care?
He still can't go anywhere. Cleveland still has his rights.
And if he sits out, then they can put the franchise tag on him in perpetuity. You know, it tolls.
To do him a solid. He wanted to do him a solid and not send him to.
Okay, well, that's different. You said first because you didn't want him, you know, if he went to Cleveland, he'd bounce to another team and hurt the Patriots. So now you're changing your story. So it's to do him a solid. So hold on. So no, it's not, Ernie. So you're saying Bill did not put the best interests of the team first. He put the interests of Garoppolo before the team.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You listen to that conference call. He cares about that player. He doesn't care about Jamie Collins.
Ernie, I agree. And that is, I'm sorry. That is a fireball offense.
So and it's not even necessarily that he put Garoppolo's interest before that of him. He put his own. If Garoppolo looks good, he looks good. It's about so look, and I believe that part of it too is he thinks Jimmy's pretty good and Shanahan will get something out of him. But if it didn't serve Bill, would he care?
Exactly. And here's another point. If you're saying Jimmy didn't want to go to Cleveland and wouldn't sign with them, I'll buy that. If I were Jimmy and Jimmy's agents, I would be telling the Browns, I want nothing to do with you. I'm never going to sign. You're going to have to franchise me. And so that might be true, except Sashi Brown still wanted him. Sashi Brown still would have made the trade. Sashi Brown has been saying it.
Well, and I was going to say, why does Bill care about that? If Cleveland's offering you the best package, who cares what happens to him after you trade him to Cleveland?
Exactly. All I'm saying is Jimmy saying that to the Browns would normally take the Browns out of the running, but it didn't. The Browns were still in there called 2 days before the trade deadline. The Pats wouldn't even take their call, wouldn't even take an offer. And if they had taken that offer, you're sitting here now with the fourth overall pick. And that is just, that is outrageous that they didn't take that call.
One thing to avoid that whole scenario is you put a clause into the trade. This is what the Packers did with Favre to the Jets. They said you cannot trade him
for a year.
Yeah, I forget what the terms were.
Or to the NFC North or something like that.
I think it was to the division. You cannot trade Favre to the division. So that's why Favre had to retire again from the Jets, and then they just released him.
Look, I just think running scared like that is, you take it to a point, right? Like, if you have a player who you think could help a team, ideally he's not in the AFC East, and ideally he's in the NFC versus the AFC. But that only goes so far. If one team's offering you the fourth overall pick and they happen to be in the AFC, take the fourth overall pick, for God's sakes. Worry about your team, and then worry about the competition. I don't think that's why he did it, by the way.
Felger and Mez. Felger and Mez.